Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, LAT. How are you today? Are there any first-time visitors in our midst? I'm seeing new faces. If you're a first-time visitor, I think that is Alana's friend. We shall clap for you. Clap for her once again. She doesn't seem to be sure. Oh, because I saw her talking to Alana. Please stand. Yes. Thank you for visiting us today. What's your name? Who? Tiffany. Tiffany, you're very welcome. My name is Joanne, and I'm not the pastor. I'm here in another capacity, though. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll meet the pastor, or you'll see him. He stands out in such a small church. And you'll see him before you leave. You know that that is the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. And the gentleman who was here is my husband, so that's why he was talking about all these things. But I don't complain. I was just shocked. I'm like, when? And yeah, so we thank God for this morning. Amen. The Lord is good, Eleti. The Lord is good. And all the time, and that is his nature. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, it's a new season for us. It's indeed a new season. And I really, really thank God. Even as I stand here, I thank God for the spirit of revelation. Amen. I thank God for how he speaks to us as LAT, individually and corporately as a church. I really, really thank God. This year, last year, 31st December, as we are crossing over, you remember we prayed for God to do a new thing in our lives. We prayed for God to do a new thing in our church. And it was really open. Just pray for a new thing in your finances, in the church, to love God more. Really, just things to do with LAT and your personal lives. I thank God that even as I stand here, I have testimonies. Hallelujah. And it's from there that I really felt God impress and confirm to me what we have to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about entering our promised land. Amen. As on Thursday, it was our first, last Thursday was our first prayer meeting, and I didn't come. I just wanted to stay somewhere and just see God about what's up, what's next. And I was going through the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy. And particularly, I was studying the history of Israel, the review of their history. The moments, those very last sermons, I think there were about like four sermons that Moses gave the children of Israel before they entered the promised land. So I read, you people, I struggled to read that because remember from Genesis, then you have the Exodus, so you know what is happening. Then you come to the book of Deuteronomy and it's a review of the history. And you're like, but I already know these things, eh? So I struggled. You know how you read, you're like, yeah, then you go through the laws and he's repeating, he keeps on regurgitating. It felt like he was over-repeating himself to the children of Israel. And thankfully, I finished my chapters for the day. Then I put in my hours of prayer. Then later, I asked someone who had attended the prayer meeting to share with me what Pastor had shared, because he's the one that led. So this person sent me an audio recording of over 2 hours of what Pastor had shared. And to my amazement, I felt what Pastor shared was really the history of LAT. These are things we have heard before. If you have been a member of LAT, even for the last 2 years, you somehow know. You somehow have an idea of the history of this church. But now pastor comes and he spends, because remember this is a prayer meeting, and we don't usually do that, because a prayer meeting is a prayer meeting. Don't be so verbose, come, share, and what? And you start to pray or worship. But pastor went into the detail of LAT, how it started, the prophetic words, where God is taking us. Then he picked out the key points of our history in LAT. Now, for those who didn't come for the prayer meeting, hallelujah, that is also a new thing in LAT. Amen. You don't come for the prayer meeting. You want to know what happened. You know what to do. We are not going to repeat those things. So I was so amazed that I'm like, I'm reading the history of Israel. A review. It was a review of that history by Moses, the prophet. Then I listened and I made sure I was like, no, I have to listen before I go to bed. So I listened to that recording and I think I finished at around coming to midnight. I was like, Moses was talking about the review of LAT, yeah? So Pastor Moses, that is, yeah? So I felt really encouraged. I'm like, these things that I've been reading, I'm like, God, the history is a lot. What is it that you want us to talk about? What is it that you're telling me? And in this time when we've been praying and believing God to do a new thing, I would like to let us know that sometimes the new thing that he does in your life concerns an old promise that he has given you. Sometimes it's totally new, you have no idea about it, but other times it concerns a promise that he has given you. So when Moses, in the Bible, not Pastor Moses, is reviewing the history of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, guess where he starts from? He starts from the promise that was given to Abraham. Hallelujah. To Abraham. And now he's reviewing this history to a generation, a new generation. Why? Because at that time, right before they entered their promised land, the older generation that had gotten out of Egypt, the land of slavery, had all gotten done with. Actually, the standing people were Caleb, Joshua, and Moses. And so those were the people who were there. But all the rest had actually died. So, and Moses was on his way to meeting the Lord in a certain way. Hallelujah. Nobody knows how he died, but we know he went somewhere and he was no more. But at least we know he died. Glory to God, he wasn't raptured. Hallelujah. So sometimes the new thing that God is doing concerns an old promise. And today, from our history as LAT, God has promised us many things. And there are very particular promises that stand out. And particularly, the promise for us to finish this phase that we are in a very short time. There is a build-up for us to become that church of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations, both in number, finances, in our ministry, in the anointing, and all these things. So as I talk about entering our promised land, I pray that you can appropriate this to your personal lives. Hallelujah. I pray that because you prayed that God does something new in your personal life. Amen. So I pray that you can get some of these lessons and you appropriate them. You can get some of the things I'm going to say and you appropriate them. So for the Israelites, the promised land was one, a physical land. They had to move from one place, point A, to point B, a physical land. But also their promised land was to do with prosperity, a good, better relationship with God, protection, multiplication, increase, and all these things. So, and there is something that I have noticed in our walk with God, that when God gives you a promise, there is always, he makes a promise, it's bold, it's a bold declaration, I'll do this. Probably something that many times you cannot pull off on your own. Then, after that, there is an experience. Sometimes it's a wilderness, it's a place of growth. Then there, after that period, whether it's a wilderness, you've taken yourself there, or he has taken you there, you enter your promise. Then after entering the promise, you prosper therein. Hallelujah. So in a way, I feel like that is, to me as Joanne, maybe guys who are here who are more theological, maybe you have other steps, but for me that is a shabby idea of what I usually go through. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us go back to the promise that God gave Abraham and how, you know what Moses said about it. Genesis 17 verses 8. We know that from this simple verse, God tells Abraham that I will give you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, or the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. At this time, he had also, essentially, you know the story. He meant that he was going to give him, that was his promise, but Abraham was ready. All this promise was unto his descendants, and he had to get a son through his own loins, the son Isaac. And then, Abraham died without ever seeing the children of Israel crossing, really the manifestation of this promise. So fast forward, he tells them that I'll give you a land where, that land where you're strangers, that land where there were even slaves. He will give it to them. Now, Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 5. Now, he takes them out of that land of slavery, and we see them moving through the wilderness. Remember, we say that sometimes the wilderness, by the way, the wilderness is not always a bad place. This morning I asked my husband, do you think that the Israelites deserved to go through the wilderness? Do you think, did they do anything wrong to God to go through the wilderness? No. God willed it that they go through the wilderness. And between verse 2, Deuteronomy verse 2 and 5, this is 40 years here, packed in these just three verses. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way. This is now Moses telling them, reviewing their journey in the wilderness. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way through all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he may make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. God did this work in the lives of the children of Israel for 40 years. It is summarized in three verses. There are things that God has done in our lives, as LAT, as a church, in the last so many years. Hallelujah. There are things that if we started speaking about them, it would be another series that goes on like for 6 weeks. And also in your lives, in your personal lives, by the way, yeah? You see, wilderness experiences are good because in therein you get to know, all these things happen, you get to know the Lord, you get to love him more, you get to know that you will not live by anything else but the word that comes out of his mouth. You get to know so many things through your wilderness experiences. Hallelujah. Anyone gone through that? And by the way, like I said, it doesn't really have to be that you did something wrong to go into a wilderness. God will take you there. When Jesus was taken into the wilderness to be tempted, he had not done anything wrong. The Bible says that he did not sin. He was perfect. But God took him there, our Lord, the highly esteemed Jesus Christ. Before he entered his promise, he had to go through that. Glory to God. He had to go through those 40 days. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and God knew, because the Bible tells us that, I think it's in Exodus 13, 17 to 18, something that I had never considered. The Lord says, and then it came to pass. Now, this is when the Israelites had left the land of Egypt. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. When you read about this route, the short route, actually it was the most common route to use to Egypt, as in from the wilderness to Egypt and from Egypt to the wilderness. It was the shortest route to use. But again, you know, God, many times you ask yourself, like, God, why couldn't you have done this? Like, you are God Almighty, yeah? But you see, God sees things that we do not see. And these are very simple lessons. These are very simple things. But if you understand them and you remind yourself of these things, you'll be a more calm Christian. Hallelujah. And we are in an era where we need the children of God to be calm. Glory to God. Not to go looking for things that they... Anyway. So this way through the Philistine territory. First of all, he knew that the Philistines wouldn't allow his children to go through. And he knew that the children of Israel were not ready for war. These are people that had been slaves their entire lives. They were not ready to face such a war. And God knew that if they had faced the war, they'll be overwhelmed and probably go back. But also, look at it this way. He knew that it just wasn't safe. It just wasn't safe. They were going to die there. They would never reach. Maybe they would annihilate them completely. It just wasn't safe. So how many times does God let us go through the longer route just because some things are not safe for you to do? I like to remind you that God is so interested in you that he will not let you, he didn't want you to lose. He will not do it. He doesn't want you to get lost along the way. So sometimes he will take you through a longer route. He will take you through a longer route. I don't know if LAT hadn't gone through the things we went through, I don't know if we'd still be here by now. If we'd still be, I don't know what would look like today. Honestly, I maybe would be many, but I don't even think we would have survived. You know, there are those churches that come up, then before you know it, they are normal and you wonder what happened. Yeah? So there are things that we go through in life or on our journey to our promised land. And you're wondering, but this is long. You're God Almighty. I mean, you fought. You people, God is not stupid. He got these people out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand. Couldn't he have annihilated the Philistines? He could have, but he chose that they go through the longer route. But he knew, let's just keep it plain and simple. Let's not say what they were hard about. Let's just say it just wasn't safe for them. It wasn't safe for his children. Glory to God. And so he chose the longer route. So they get to a point where they are going to enter their promised land. Glory to God. Now concerning the new things that God is telling us, that God wants to do in our midst. Let me just share a dream with you, because I even had to ask Sam for permission to share it. Two dreams. In September last year, our son Kwezi had a dream that, how many people know that we built a house, we moved, God helped us, put us in a bigger space for that poor one. A mansion, yes. He put us in a much bigger space. You people have heard that testimony. It's a great and wonderful testimony. So I think after we celebrated a year, I remember we even cut cake. We celebrated a year, right, in August. And in September, Kwezi has a dream. This dream depressed me. Oh, you people. The dream depressed me. I was like, Ichabod. What happened? So Kwezi has a dream that we were back at our old place. where we were renting before. And not just our old place, but because where we were renting, there were six houses. So four houses were three-bedroomed, and then there were two houses that were two-bedroomed at the back. So now my son dreams that we were back in there because there were renovations taking place in our new house, and that we were back in there, but now we're not even where we used to stay in the three-bedroomed house. Oh, we were in a smaller house. The other two at the back. My son told me the dream. I'm like, tell me again. So he tells me, I'm like, but how is it that we are here in a new house? We have given testimonies. But God, you're telling us that you're doing repairs. And then, not only are you doing repairs, you have taken us back to the old place of rent. And not just even in our home, but in a much smaller place, you guys. Mm-mm. I told God, Nedda. Mm-mm. If there is a time I ever sat down, and I didn't need anyone to review our history, I sat and said, mm-mm. God, let me go back. Where did we get it wrong? Why are we in a house physically that is complete, but you're doing repairs? What are you doing? So I knew from what we had experienced in that 1 year that it was something to do with our finances. Why? Because we had been struggling. Now, not struggling of that you don't have fuel, but we saw a new kind of lack that we didn't even know existed. At one point, I told Sam that, my husband, I'm like, but maybe, being in that place, maybe it was much better because we didn't have all these things. That is when, of lights, the bills were high, the what, it was further, the fuel, the cars get spoiled, the road to home. That is when some of us started switching off our lights at home. You're there, he's like, we have to save power. Pah! He switches off. Ooh, the moment he comes back home, and you guys left the power. And it's a new place, yeah? So sometimes we'd even forget, the security lights you put on outside? You'd even forget that the lights are on. Or maybe a light on the balcony. Then you see it like at 4, you're like, this thing has been on the whole day. So Sam comes and he's like, Joan? Mm-mm. I can't keep paying this much money. From today onwards, we shall be switching on the lights of the house. the external lights, but the ones that are attached to the house. But the one on the boundary wall, he said, I don't want to see any of that business here. I'm like, but engineer, you install the lights to be used at night. Eh? But and now you see a place there, it's for guys who have been there, it's dark at night, yeah? I told him, but engineer, with all due respect, when you travel, the place is dark outside. But he's like, but you can see with these lights in fact, that is why I put them on. I'm like, but engineer, maybe we should invest in solar. He said, no, I don't want to hear it. The bills are too high, okay? Not only was our light bill high, even food, we compound. Now the rubbish was on us. Security is on us. You guys who say, you can be blessed and you do not know, yeah? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't want to go into your own places. But let us accept it that, with a new level, new things come. I remember, I think, one of the biggest jokes that we used to have, and this one was with our friend Dennis. When Dennis would go shopping, because now he has dogs. Now we also got dogs. When he would go shopping, mama, bread. What? There's a time I think I met Dennis in a supermarket, and he had, because as you know, his family, what? So he bought like 3-4 loaves of bread. I went and told some man, that time when we were still renting, for us, our color for bread, it takes us 1 week. We don't even need to buy that mugati. Then a time came, even me, I started following Dennis. 3 loaves of bread, food for the dogs, what? And I'm like, man, this thing was just taking us. And so things were just not the same. But also that shows that even when we went to a bigger place, there was no increase in our finances. Hallelujah. There was really no increase in our income. So we had to live within that income. What's up? Like, wanange. But that dream really made me feel bad. And I told God, me, I'm not going in these things. I am not. So I started to pray to God. Now, this year, when we were told to pray for something new, I'm like, God, our finances, please do something about it. Otherwise, we are not going to, and we're not willing to compromise on our giving. But you see, even the willing heart, you don't want to compromise on your giving, but you're just forced to cut down even when you would have given over your distant relative this, if say, or your neighbor. Now it's needs basis. Who needs? Yeah? There's nothing like, now it's needs basis, okay? If I knock this, like things were really, yeah? But we had what to eat. God was still good in that time. So you can say that went through our wilderness. So this year I prayed and I said, God, there's got to be something new. Like just remove, I remember telling God, Echikoligo, who knows Echikoligo? Echikoligo of luck. What is Echikoligo? What is Echikoligo? Who is a Muganda? Christine, what is Echikoligo? Pastor says it's a yoke. So, Echikoligo is really, the truth is, I know what it means. It's a yoke. So I felt like we were really sinking. I'm like, God, just take us out of this place. Just take us out of this place. But remember, we are in a new place. But according to heaven, we are in a small place. Do you understand? Like those, you know, there are those times a person would come here and say, the whatever of heaven, the report of heaven is more important. And me in my heart, I'm like, See, yeah, it is more important because no one knows what we are going through. But according to heaven, we are back there in like a small place. Yeah. So I really began believing God for abundance. And last night, the person who dreamt the other dream 6 months ago had another dream. And now in the dream, you people, God is so good because this one, I could not have conjured it up. I couldn't even. So he has a dream that now, Kwezi, the dream of the first dream. So last night he dreams that now we have shifted back to our new place. Imagine a child, you guys. We've shifted back to our new place. And he said that he was left behind. That I told him, you stay behind. But you will come back after 1 week. You will join us after 1 week. So he shares the dream, and he's a bit apprehensive about it. Because like, but mommy, you left me there. Even me, I'm like, but even me, I left my son there. So again, I'm like, hey, but God, eh? I said, tell me the dream again. He tells you, yeah, mommy, I had the dream. We had now come back from that place. And now, but you had told me that I should stay behind, that I would join you after 1 week. Glory to God, L.A.T. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I'm standing here and I'm like, God, eh? At least the refurbishment is somewhere. At least it's not yet complete because, man, I don't know what the 1 week means. Maybe it means 7 months. Maybe it means 7 days. I don't know what it means. But I know in a short time, everything will be done. We shall be in our big space and we shall enjoy it as we ought to. Glory to God. Amen. So, I'm glad that I'm here standing before you and talking about shifting. A new shift in your life. A new thing as you enter your promised land. Like I said, it could be to do with an old promise that he has given you before. And I was praying because during that time, it was really a wilderness for us. We were just praying, God, help us. Like, it was, even one time when you get to those points and you're like, but God, and this I'll be honest with you, and I hope you learn something from me and you don't do it. I'm like, but how is it that I'm in a new place and I'm not even enjoying it? How is it that I look back and I'm like, but I think the other place was much better. Yes, there's a testimony here, but yay, living through every day. But I thank God that when he starts to build something, when he starts to repair something, he will do a great job. Hallelujah. He will do a great job. He will do something new in your lives. Amen? He will do something new in your lives. He will fulfill that promise. He will give you that thing that you're asking Him for. Glory to God. So I feel like I am free now to talk about how to enter our promised land. How did we get here, Sam and I? Now that is the detail. You guys, I just want to share with you. But again, it's not anything new. It's not anything difficult, complex. It is simple. The things that we've talked about here over and over and over again. Yesterday when I was preparing for the sermon, my daughter comes and asks me, Mommy, she looks into my book and she's like, what are you doing? I tell her what I'm doing. And she's like, you're going to talk about that again, but it has been talked about before. And I'm like, yeah, man, I've looked, like the Munyankole says, Bakhirika, there's nothing that will fall out of you. Like, even if they got you and turned you upside down, yeah, nothing falls out. Like, I had looked, I had turned myself upside down. As like, God give me a new angle that I can tell people it's a new year, it's what? But let me tell you, I'm back here with the same old message. Glory to God. I am back here with the same old message because we didn't do anything that we haven't talked about here before. Glory to God. Amen. So we shall start with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12. Hallelujah. I'm just giving us this scripture to justify where I'm repeating things. So I'm going to be very fast. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. So this justifies me. Hallelujah. This justifies. So you guys, you had better listen and don't doze. Amen. This justifies the sermon. So first of all, how do you prepare to enter your promised land? Remember the lessons you have learned. Review your history. How did you get there? Where did you get it wrong? Let me tell you, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, by the way, Jesus Christ quoted from that book 4 times when he was in his wilderness. 4 times. Jesus in the wilderness didn't quote from anywhere else, but from that book 4 times when he was in his wilderness. Now, remember the lessons you have learned. Review your history. How tula or waye with yourself. You know tuwaye? Yes, sit down and you choir with yourself. How did I get here? To choir is to have retrospective moments. Remember, introspection. Okay? Sit down and think about how you got where you are. By the way, feel free to even remember the days you missed things. Why should you remember and why? Because when you read the book of When you read Deuteronomy and these sermons that what Moses was telling the children of Israel, he actually reminded them of their sin. He says, remember when you tested the Lord your God at the rock, Meribah and Massah. You remember when you complained against him. You remember how you worshiped the golden calf. It is okay to remember some of these things. And why does God want us to remember not just the lessons, but your entire history, that you may learn that you're weak. You may always remember that you're weak and you need to trust and always depend on him. He doesn't want you to remember these things so that you get depressed or you feel defeated. But you must remember where you missed the mark. You must be humble enough to remember where you missed the mark and that you really need the Lord. So that you say, but I'm not going to ever do that thing again. Never. Hallelujah. So during that time, when we were going through this period. I would always sit with Sam and ask him, where did we get it wrong? Where did we get it right? And thankfully, I know, and somehow I know where probably God had an issue with us. We can't say I'm perfect or we are perfect. So probably I know where all that came from. Amen? Hallelujah. So remember your sin, remember the disobedience, remember his works, remember his faithfulness. You know, we say, remember the faithfulness of God. But also you have to remember where did you get it wrong. God doesn't like people who forget. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, I think 43, 18, 19, Do not forget, like, forget the former things, yeah? Look, I am doing a new thing. But God is not in the business of working with people who don't take lessons. You don't take a lesson from God, you're going to be in that wilderness much longer. LAT, I know we are remaining with a few years to enter, just a few years, to enter our promised land as a church. But let us remember, are there things we need to change? Are there things that we need to give thanks to God for? Let's remember those things. Amen? Amen? Yes, so let us remember, value the lessons. Value the lessons that God gave you. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 to 25, it says, in remembering, when Moses is encouraging the children of Israel to remember their history, their walk with the Lord. He says, when your sons ask you in the time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord has commanded you? Now, he had given them a new law. The second time he was giving them the commandments. Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, and great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he may bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he may preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it shall be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. God commanded the children of Israel. Now remember, the other generation that went out of Egypt was not there anymore. So this new generation did not know some of these things. They did not know Batukaobatia. They did not know how the former generation really suffered. So in the wilderness, they didn't see God that way. So now Moses tells the children of Israel that your sons will ask you, why are we doing all these things? Why do we commemorate the Passover? Why do we keep the statutes? Why are the judgments like this? And Moses told them, your sons will ask you, and you will recount to them the history. It's very important for us to remember where we have come from. But not just that, but to teach our children. Amen? We must teach our children, you people. As a teacher in Sunday school, I have to teach the children where LAT has come from. I have to teach the children why we do the things we do. Because tomorrow I'll not be here. I don't know. Maybe we'll not have a long time here, some of us, in the new season. I do not know. But there will be a new team, worship members. There will be a new team. We have a dream where, in fact, in that dream, Jed's dream, where a pastor couldn't recognize some of the people in the worship team. That is a new thing. Glory to God. But those people will not know your history, where you have come from, if you don't tell them. If you don't say, we were once few. So, Toto Tisati, Sawanombu, people are going to leave. Yes, so we have to sing for the congregation. No. We have to teach our children these things. And I've seen a lot of, like, when people deviate, or when there is apostasy from maybe prosperity or the promises of God in the next generation, it's because there was a gap of knowledge. People, like the children, don't understand. They still want to reap the blessing, but they cannot sustain it because they do not know even how you got there. They do not know what it took for you to be where you are. So as a parent, it behooves you to sit down your child and say, you know what, for me, I learned obedience this way. And you teach them obedience. You teach them giving. You teach them sacrifice. As the Lord leads you, how did you get where you are? You must teach the children. Glory to God. You must teach them, because tomorrow when you're not there, God is interested in your legacy, in letting it go on and on, okay? But tomorrow if you're not there and the people you have left don't have value, yes, they are experiencing prosperity, and I know, LAT, you're prosperous, you're going to be prosperous, glory to God. But don't you sit down and sometimes wonder, but chinechintu, who is going to take over after? Who is going to take over after? And that person who is going to take over, do they know some of these things? Do they know some of these things? There is a couple that is successful. They have a Christian school, Christian businesses. They are God-fearing. And God has blessed them. I know their children have studied. Now all of them, apart from one, is married. But the other one, most of them live out of the country. So one time, I sat down and I asked some, but these businesses, these people, what are they going to do? Like, when their time is up, how easy is it going to be for the children to come and take over and continue their legacy? Because the business they deal with is to do with, you know, schools. That is a service that is very personal. It's like hospitals. People are entrusting you with their children, so they'll want a certain relationship. Now, for you come all the way from France and you even have a French accent, and you expect to get through to a certain praise or a certain Esther who has been here in Uganda. She didn't know nothing about what, and you're there, your child, about what? No. You must calm down and relate with the people. But now that takes time. It takes you being on ground. It takes you having been discipled and grounded. And so I was telling some that I think at one point, those children, it's a blessing. Then if indeed it's of God that they'll take over the businesses, those children will have to, at one time, come back home. Glory to God. And see how they can. But thankfully, I hope he has built a good spiritual foundation for them. Or the parents have built a good spiritual foundation for them that they understand when they see these businesses going up, they know that, my father walked a life of repentance, obedience. He walked with the Lord. He prayed and fasted. He was a man after God's own heart. Glory to God. In the Bible, we see so many kings who were prosperous, but because their sons didn't, they were prosperous and they passed on prosperity to their children. But because their children never quite valued, or they were not trained in the word of the Lord, or they didn't know the history of these things and value it, somehow their posterity just, you know, a child goes into things, ascends the throne, and then they start worshiping other gods. Then the Bible tells you that the fear of the Lord was not in his son like his father. And that kingdom was washed down the road. Let us teach our children how to walk with the Lord. Let us teach them. Don't say they are so young. These children know a lot. They know a lot more than we knew when we were at their age. They can take in a lot of stuff. You ask them the wicked things, you will see. They know the wicked things. So it behooves you to actually teach them the godly stuff. Glory to God. Yesterday we had someone coming, a friend of ours who has been in Australia for 6 years. And he came back for Christmas. So he passed by our home and visited us. This guy is a Muganda. I was so amazed. The dialect was Luganda. The children, every time they were speaking English, they had the Australian accent, proper Australian accent, because, you know, they're young and what. But he says, Jango gambe auntie, what you do? I'm like, man, this guy. Then I told Sam, this guy has done a lot more than most of us here in Uganda, because in my home, we speak English. But I'm in Uganda. So I asked the guy, I'm like, how did you do this? He said that for us, we decided with my wife that we shall speak Luganda in our home, okay? And also, we realize that they are where the children are. There is a big issue with identity crisis. And they'll start to think that these countries are way better than their hometown. And they'll start to disdain, their home countries, where they come from. And then they'll start to disdain their roots and their history, looking down for us. The guy was so hard. Kakati jangu. Gamba about the auntie in Luganda. I'm like, man, I was just standing there as the guy told me to ask the child a question, but I was, you know, where the mind just goes blank, because I'm thinking, a child who is so fluent can understand Luganda so well. And this girl wasn't using mbu jango yogelene auntie, because auntie, you can even connect it to English. Oh, but he called me what? Some Luganda name there. I'm like, bane, I just asked the child a simple question. What chores do you do at home? Jango mbubulire. So the child comes to me and starts, I wash, I wash, I mop the house. Oh, but I do what? Now the accent, you know, Australian accent, you know how it sounds, yeah? But I was so amazed that this guy was so intentional. And in such, in that context, I felt it blessed me. I was like, you know, we must teach our children these things. As far as it depends on you, let it not be said of you that your child looked back on your history, Najijoga, and they're like, my dad, do you wish sometimes you're not a Ugandan? Yes, sometimes when you see things happening in your country, like Banange, Mukama, but this is my country. God put me here. These are my boundaries. But you don't want your children, you prosperous people, you will send your children out there, but you don't want your child to come back feeling like even the Muzei is what? Is way below their standards. Glory to God. I remember Sam talking about how Sam and a friend of his talking about how some of our children will get married to maybe Bazungu, people who don't have the same cultural background. And some, that time it was the conversation, but how do you know? So that time it was that conversation of, yeah? And then Sam is like, oh, man, these things of culture, yeah? You go, as a Muzei, you go to visit your child. Okay, let me use France. And they tell you, man, after we are going to work, eh? The food is in the microwave, sort yourself. At this time, please help us walk the dog. And eh? You're like, man, you're a Muzei here. When you come back home, they respect you. They're like, yeah, here, fast meals. What do you want? Fries, what, man? Some are like, ay, 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 man, I don't know what our children. Because like, man, you've grown up on kachai here. When you enter your house, people respect you. You respect your father, respect your uncle. But when the children, and this is what happens, when the children grow, they get married to these people, all the exposure, things change. But they should never, ever disrespect you for your history. Glory to God. They should know Muzei is coming. Oh, mommy's coming. You be that Nigerian woman. Me, I'll pack my things and I go to see you crazy. Eh? I'll pack my matoke. I'm like, Nija. Oba, your wife, Oba, is up there. Nija, Nkora Chai. Yeah? And I taught you how to make that. Nkora Chai, who is going to take me to the bus park? Those things of saying, ah, no, we're going to call an Uber for you to take. Please, eh? Please, please, please. Like Sam says, please, please, eh? Don't disturb me when I'm gray-haired. Glory to God. So the point is, let not our children disdain our history. But how will that happen? Is if we do not teach them these things. If we don't teach them to reverence these things. Glory to God. So parents who are here, teach the children. Teach them from an early age. And by the way, we have a very short time with these kids. Nowadays, before you know it, you know, your child is gone at 16, gone out of the country to go and study. God has good, eh? They have U.S. citizenship, glory to God. But for me, where is Eden? When I come to visit, yeah. I'll say, Edeni. I will say, Edeni, eh? Please, come and make for me something here. So let us, if you're making it now for me when I come to your home, if I come to your home and you make for me tea, do not stop, Eden. When you're in university, wherever, yeah? And I come and say, now, just switch on that. It will be done in 2 minutes. Then you leave. Please, Eden, eh? Help me. Glory, please, yeah? Yes, don't, yeah. So let us teach our children these lessons. Glory to God. Amen. The second thing is faith. When God is doing something new in your life, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to trust God. And your faith is evidence that you trust God, and your faith should lead you into obedience. If you say that you're walking in faith, and you're not walking in obedience, then I do not know what you're doing, honestly, because I know that faith obeys. Faith obeys on the basis of trust. So let us obey God in these things, that let us walk in faith. God, you know, there is something that Pastor said on Thursday. He said, Pastor, you know, I was really blessed. He said, even if we do what in our own power, the promises that God has for LAT, they cannot come to pass unless he what? He intervenes. Unless he intervenes, being at that point where you know, Banange, there's just no way I can do this on my own, but I have to depend on God. Glory to God. Let us look at Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. Therefore, since our promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Stop there. You know, when you hear the word of God, you know that that word calls you to action. Even if God says rest, the Bible says actually labor to enter the rest of God. You know, even to me, I'm coming visible. He's telling you rest, but he says labor to enter. Now, labor to enter the rest of God. Even just entering the rest of God is work for a Christian. You have to, you know, close your mind. You have to think. You have to close your mind to the negative voices, so all these things, and believe what God has. And in that way, what God has promised you, and in that way, you will enter rest. All of us receive that word. But you know what? The truth is, whoever mixes it with faith, glory to God. If you don't mix it with faith, you will not enter your promise. You have to believe God. Glory to God. You must believe that God is that can do the impossible. God is a creator. He does new things. You have to believe it. As we enter our next season, LAT, we know the years. I quite really felt challenged when Pastor boldly said that. Yeah! I was like, God. Eh? Like, indeed, when we were hearing some promises, you hear them, and you're like, you know, that is very far from me. You hear God is going to give you lower what? Pastor, huh? Because let me use that example, because Pastor shared it here. God, yeah, a house in Lubowa. We are all excited, what? Then he says, a house in Lubowa in 2024. You're like, what? Because then your mind told you, oh, that is very far. There was no time frame, eh? But now you're like, eh, a house in Lubowa in 2024. How much time are we remaining with? How many months? How much do I have on my account? Can this really be pulled off? Like, you know? But, so I felt challenged when that particular promise came back, when I was hearing it, and I was like, eh, now, LAT, how many years do we have to complete this phase? Okay, what am I supposed to do by faith? I'm supposed to pray that the phase is completed, the second phase is completed in a short time. All right? Okay, now, so I said to think about all these things I'd always entertained the very first time I had the promise of LAT growing bigger. And then, you know, like, yeah, Chilimu future, it's easy to believe because it's those ends. But now when God comes close and he says, in a week, your child will be back, you're like, what am I going to do now? Yeah, in 1 week for Kwezi to come back and we experience the abundance, you're like, eh. But in a week, how many things does God has to undo? Like, how many things does he have to undo? So let us not doubt the word that God gives us. If he's saying he's doing a new thing, best believe it. Glory to God. We know that in Numbers, before the children of Israel entered their promised land, they sent out 12 spies. Of the 12, 10 came back with a negative report. The report was somehow similar. They all believed and saw that the land was actually good. But 10 of them, the majority, came back with a negative report that, ah, man, we've seen giants. Even the sons of these giants are there. We cannot take that land. Then two chaps, Joshua and Caleb, come back and they're like, no, if the Lord delights in us, he's going to give us that land. Now, many times God's promises are like that. There will be people, there will be naysayers. Nayenga, they are well-meaning. Because by the time these spies are sent out, the 12 of them, each representing what? A tribe. They were good people. I don't think that Moses would have sent out chaps who are not serious. They were good people. They are well-meaning guys. They were well-meaning, praise God. And they were good. So when God gives you the promise of entering your promise, there will be those naysayers of her. But you know what? According to the church demographics, for you to reach where you reach, for you to get those numbers, like 20 years, then you have to have an outreach program. You have to, And those things are not bad, but sometimes they can disorient you. They can disorient you. Glory to God. When God told us to start building, when we had 10 million shillings, this is the only place where I would stand and say such a thing. Walala, we were quiet. It's only in LAT, like-minded people also, we hoped. Maybe some of you are like her. 10 million, let us see. But this is the only place where we could say, man, we are starting to build with 10 million. That kind of nonsense, you wouldn't tell it to some people. Would you tell your father such a thing? No. He would say, no. Well, I wouldn't tell my brother such a thing. He would say, what? You're insane. Don't start. At least Kale. Kale make $10,000 because that's how he said. You make 10K. Make 10K. I'm like, me, I have 10 million. I didn't say 10K. I meant 10 million. So when God tells you to do things, have faith. Trust him. There will be naysayers, you people. They will be there. And from people who don't, you know the Lord's promise very well. Like, these spies knew the promise of God very well. But, and that's why I'm saying that these people were well-meaning. They were not evil. They were not wicked. They knew the Lord's promise very well. They were chosen. You know what? You know what it means to go through 12 tribes and you choose the most, you know, people, the spies of the most repute, of repute. Oh, no. Say, Sam to Mujeko, let us send Bruce. Bruce is better than Sam. They send what? Inspiring. They say, but also he's a man filled of the Spirit of God. Yeah. Hey, Bruce had just chikola. Imagine you go, they must have gone through a rigorous process of choosing the spies, of choosing serious people. Say this one here, Mulwanyi, if Mulwanyi, Tata. Andrew, this one here, if guys come and they want to mess him up, yeah, we can see his build. He will fight them off. And then the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He will, he can shoot. He will say, this one also, so these guys are chosen and they are presented to Moses. And Moses says, go. Then they go, they spend 40 days spying out this land. 40. They do their work diligently. So I want to just paint a picture that the people who sometimes can be a detractor from your promise may not necessarily be evil people. They will be people from within you. They will be people from within you. And do you know what? Later when you see the end of these guys, fire consumed them. Fire consumed them. God sent fire and they were consumed apart from Caleb and Joshua. Glory to God. May you have Calebs and Joshuas to know, to people who know the Lord's promise. People who say, Kale, it is difficult, but if the Lord delights in us, he will give us that land. Glory to God. Amen. So may you surround yourself with those people, not people who will be consumed by fire. Glory to God. So as we enter our season, as LAT, in our promised land, as a church, I have a feeling God is being gracious to us. Some people will leave. And that is, the feeling I have is not that people will leave. God told us that people will leave. But maybe those are people, God knows, they are just what? Weights. They will stop others from moving on. So when people leave, I'm like, well, bye. It's okay. It is of God. You have not done us wrong. It is of God. You go. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, Vanessa. Amen. Yes. So, may we have the Calebs in our midst. May we have the Calebs in our midst. If you're not a Caleb, if you're not a Joshua, I don't know, you don't have a lot of time. Glory to God. Then lastly, hear the Lord's voice and walk in obedience. I made this the last point because in Tiano Chogira, it's over talked about here on this pulpit. Even when I was writing it, this is the point where my daughter phoned me and said, but Pastor Moses is always saying, obey, obey, even you are going to say obey. I told him, I wish I had something else to tell you about the new thing that the Lord is doing. You must walk in obedience. Obedience will sustain you. Obedience will cover you. When things are difficult, obedience will sustain you. Moses tells the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 6, 16 to 19. The prophet Moses, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. By the time Moses tells the children of Israel this, he knew what disobedience is. He disobeyed once. And the Bible said he actually went to God. He disobeyed God once. God told him, speak to the rock. You all know that story. Instead of speaking to the rock, the children of Israel didn't have water. He got his rod, and out of his anger, he struck the rod. Moses talks about obedience from a point of understanding. Moses also, God told him no. Moses, such a great intercessor, that is even talked about in Jeremiah, I think 15:1, where God tells Jeremiah that even if Samuel and Moses came and interceded for these people, I'll never forgive them. So God held Moses in such a high regard in terms of intercession. So after he has disobeyed God, Moses, the intercessor, now at one point goes back to God to intercede for himself. He says, please, Lord, after God has pronounced his judgment, you're not entering. Togenda kuyingira. He goes and he now starts telling God, please, I know you're a faithful God. I know you're a merciful God. I have seen you doing those things. I have seen you extend mercy and grace to your children who are stiff-necked. He asks God to extend the same mercy to him. And you know what God told him? Do not speak to me about this matter anymore. It was a small thing. Oh, it seemed a small thing. Moses had obeyed, like really serious obedience. I feared Moses when he was taken out of the desert and told to go back. And then his stick turned into, I'm like, man, this guy is really, really obedient. Because by the time you go and then you throw down the stick, then it turns into what? Then the Pharaoh, that time it was before Pharaoh, him and Aaron. Then the Pharaoh brings his magicians and witch doctors and they do the same thing. Man, if I was Aaron, I would have told Moses, this part you didn't tell me, that we are like in a freak show. Snakes are eating each other, man. They just told us to throw. And God didn't even God hadn't told Moses at that time that, by the way, this is what Pharaoh is going to do, that he's going to bring his guys and they'll do the same thing. Then this is the kabaddi I'm going to. God doesn't tell Moses that stuff. Moses was just told, go with Aaron, speak, tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses went. What can beat that kind of obedience? Moses obeyed God when there was really nothing. He obeyed him. But now this one time, in a small thing, or what they could call a small, some people would say he always had an anger problem. Don't tell me about anger problems. It was an instruction given to him. Speak to the rock. Moses had seen God face to face. You would think that, but God, this was extreme. But when you're leading people, God will hold you to a more strict standard. Glory to God, leaders. Amen. God will hold you to a more strict standard. Your chiboko may not be the same chiboko as somebody else. So Moses goes and he intercedes for himself and he asks God to let him. And God is like, okay. I'm just going to take you. I even think that that was more painful. I'm just going to take you and I'll show you the land from far. He takes him, but he tells him, but you're not entering the promised land. I felt that was extreme. But you see, that is when God tells us to obey him. We must obey in the small things, in the big things. And you could have a good track record of obedience. And I think that is why God consistently tells us to obey. You could have a good track record of obedience. Then you mess up once. And this sounds like, oh, you know, it's that God is not a loving God. Then you mess up once, and then things are bad for you, man. Bad. We have seen that happen in Scripture. Glory to God. Now, not to depress us, God is a God of what? Of second chances. If you fail to obey him in the last season, in this new, as you look forward to God doing something new in your life, purpose to obey God in the big and the small things. Purpose, as much as it depends on you, to walk in obedience. And you know, Moses tells the children of Israel that, remember, God forbid me from entering the promised land on your account. Now, katina wa musango, now go take on what? On your account. You guys messed me up, eh? But he is the one who was seeing God face to face. Me, if I was in that congregation, I would have told him, Moses, just a minute, please. You are the one who was seeing God face to face. You are the one who gave the instruction. Why didn't you do it? I would have put up my hand, but Munange, after I think the experience of Miriam, you hold your horses, you're like, oh, Munange, the man, I may be cast out. Leprosy, what? So, let us purpose to obey God in the small things. In the small things. When he tells you give, give. When he tells you don't go here, don't go. In the small things, in the big things. It doesn't matter. When God is doing something, sometimes it doesn't matter your track record of obedience. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it is all about, did you obey this instruction I gave you? Did you obey it? And Moses would have said, the children of Israel was really stiff-necked. You remember the last time when we sent out the spies, they went, and my children of Israel are like us. They went, when the spies came back and the 10 guys said that the land is good, but we can't, public opinion, you know? Now there is a chikosi. No, this land is what? No. Maybe they were more organized. They're like, so maybe they were seated in a meeting, say, excuse me, Moses, these are my reasons why I think we cannot take over that land. The reason is such that, first of all, we are very few. Those guys are many. We don't have that experience, blah, 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 blah. All the kind of rubbish that they can tell you for a church not to grow. And they are here. You can even read that rubbish in a book. Yeah, if you know, for you to grow after 10 years, blah, blah, blah. You can read those things. Then another person. Then there are just two guys. Say, let's just believe God. Chintu chiri simple. Tumukirize, tugende. If we are to die, we die. If he delights in us, he will save us. Then some guys came, but it wasn't as I'm telling you, because the Bible says that actually there was commotion in the camp. And guys said, you know what? The Israelites, they told Moses after the spies' report, excuse me, let us appoint some our new leaders and we go back to Egypt. That is what they said. Let us first appoint Ono Moses let us appoint leaders, new leaders who can take us back there. That is what they said. They were willing to appoint new leaders to take them back to Egypt. Why? Because a negative report had come. They were willing. Okay? And that is why I think God was like, Musaga, all of you, you're not going to enter that land. Some of these things are very costly. Glory to God. Yeah, they are very costly. And so thank God that there were two people and God did something else. for Israel. He promised them that their children, because they were even concerned about their children, said, we shall go there, our wives and our children, families, glory to God, our wives, our children, they will be annihilated. Then God says, and those children you say that I'm going to kill, they are the ones who are going to actually take over the promised land. Can you imagine? Because you need to read your Bibles. Amen. So these guys are here concerned that their children are going to die. What? They want even to go back. And God is like, hey, okay. You adults, all of you, you're going to die in this wilderness. But your children, who you say, I want to kill, are the ones who are going to take over. What irony is that? What irony is that? So let us, in this, as God is doing something new, God is causing restoration to come. God is causing restoration to come to us. God is doing something new. Let us remember our history. Let us value the lessons we have learned. Walk in faith. You're going to need faith a lot more probably than you ever thought you do. Because the promises that God has given us, they are bold, they are big. But for us to pull them off, we have to work with God. And that calls for faith. Hallelujah. May we have Calebs and Joshuas to cross over with us. Amen. And remember, obey the word of the Lord. In both the small, and if Moses knew that this thing would cost him, just that thing would cost him the peak of his, you know, his calling, man, he wouldn't have done it. Let us purpose to obey God in everything. In the small, if an instruction is clear, even if it is small, obey it. Don't just obey it. Glory to God. Amen. Whether you know the consequences or not. Whether it's going to kill you, okay, obey. But you die in obedience than dying in disobedience. If it's going to kill you, Kale, if it's damning you for 2 more years, 3 more years when you're single and you're not married, walk in obedience. If God is telling you, get out of that relationship, that bogus relationship, and you're like, but God, I'm going to be single for the next, I don't know how long. Kale, you be single, but single in obedience is better than married in disobedience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in LAT. Lord, we thank you that you have challenged us and called us to walk with you in faith. You have challenged us to work with you and to enter our promised land. Lord God, we pray that even as we walk by faith, help us. Help us to always remember where you got us from. Help us to remember our lessons we have learned. Help us, King of Glory, to teach our children these things. Because, Lord, you are interested in the legacy of LAT. Lord, help us to teach the young ones. Help us to teach the new people who will come. Help us, King of Glory. And Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that amongst us there will be Calebs, there will be Joshuas, there will be people who will believe you, who will risk and say, if we are to die, we die. If we are to be ashamed, let us be ashamed. But we are doing what God wants us to do. Help us, Father. Help us, King of Glory. Help us, help us, help us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we shall not last longer than we should where we are individually and as families and as a church, LAT. Help us, King of Glory. Because, Lord, when we move at the same pace as you do, Lord, even our church will move. Help us, King of Glory. Help us, Father. And help us to always, always obey you, to do every instruction you give us the way you want us to do it. Not more, not less. Not more, not less, but that which you want us to do. Help us, King of Glory. May these lessons stick, even as you do something new in our lives, in our families, Father, in our marriages. Help us. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, King of Glory, for you do a new thing. You cause abundance to come. You cause abundance to come, Father. For the areas, Lord God, where we have not stepped before, where we do not know in terms of ministry and ministering to people, help us. Help us to be bold. Help us to believe you. Help us not to fear to be embarrassed. Help us not to fear what people will say. Help us not to fear, but to follow you, O God. Father, help us to follow the structure of growth that you have for LAT. Because you have called LAT individually, O God, as a church. Help us to walk therein, Father. Help us, Father. Lord God, we thank you for our children. We thank you for the people who will be here, those that we don't even know. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for the instrumentalists that we have not yet seen. We thank you for the ministers that we have not yet seen. Lord, we thank you for the children who will come that we haven't yet seen. Lord God, we thank you for those people, because it's with those people that we shall cross into what you have promised us, O God. Father, Lord, we thank you for each one of them. We thank you for the cleansing work you're doing in our midst, that you're removing everyone who does not align with your will, with your vision for this church. Lord God, you remove them. It is your doing. It is not our doing. We have not done any wickedness concerning them. But Lord God, it is your doing. Father, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that it shall be that when they go as you have said, the new will be ushered in. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you that the new comes. It brings us gifts. It multiplies us. It increases us. And together we are that church of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. Father, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.